Welcome to Coast Community Radio's presentation of the American Association of University Women Pacific County Candidates Forum. You'll be hearing highlights from the forum, beginning with the three contenders for Pacific County Commission Position 3. In Part 2 of this broadcast, you'll hear from Scott Johnson, candidate for the office of Pacific County Sheriff, and from John Didion, the incumbent who has served as sheriff in Pacific County for 12 years. We'll begin as moderator Natalie Hansen introduces Lisa Ayers, candidate for Pacific County Commission, Position 3.
We'll start with Lisa Ayers, if she would make her statement for you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This is a wonderful opportunity to get out and talk to people. The county commissioner job is established by the state of Washington. The county commissioners manage the county budget and finances. They manage county personnel and property. They set policy and long-term goals. And they oversee the departments of public works, community development, health and human services, and vegetation management and the fair. The county commissioner's job is to manage the county government. My background has given me experience in each and every one of these responsibilities. However, my strength lies in the county commissioner's most significant responsibility, and that is the management of the county budget and finances. I have over 20 years of experience in accounting, 11 of which is governmental. As the county's management and fiscal analyst for the past 5.5 years, I not only prepare, monitor, and analyze the county budget, but I provide information to the county commissioners and recommendations to support their decisions. Why am I running? Because you need a strong, reliable representative. I will be a full-time working commissioner. I will listen and represent the citizens, the businesses, and the industries of Pacific County. I will speak up for the citizens of Pacific County. Second, you need effective management of your county resources and taxes. I will systematically review the county's operations for cost savings and efficiencies. I will work with the community to set priorities, and I'm committed to balancing the budget to support those priorities, meet state and federal mandates, and retain core services. Finally, you need a leader. My background would allow me to step into a county commissioner's role tomorrow. But the role tomorrow won't look like it does today. As a commissioner, I will go beyond the basic responsibilities and look to a broader vision. I will facilitate partnerships with organizations, agencies, businesses, and citizens, and search for effective and innovative solutions to current and emerging issues. Now, I know that we all want a stronger local economy and more jobs. However, Pacific County, like the rest of state and local governments in this country, is struggling with declining revenues, high unemployment rates, and faltering businesses. The best contributions that a county commissioner can make to the economic development of Pacific County is to actively support our existing businesses and industries. They're the core of our economy. And to provide a well-managed, stable government that can maintain the critical infrastructure and provide the core services that are essential to the economic growth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Harwood.
My name is Clay Harwood. I'm presently the County Commissioner for District 3 in North End of Pacific County. A little bit of background on myself. I'm born and raised in Kitsap County. After 3 years in the Army, I worked for Puget Sound Energy for 31.5 years, retired from them, and I spent 6.5 years working for Dennis Company in Raymond. I've been involved in the communities I've worked in. Part of the involvement was being on several county boards here in Pacific County, the Board of Adjustments for 3.5 years, and the Planning Commission for 2.5 years. I've been involved in the community in other ways. I've been a member of the Raymond School Board as a director for over 4 years, and then I've been part of other boards in the community presently. I'm on the board for Alliance for Better Community, which is part of the Family Policy Council out of the state of Washington and connected with Well Springs here in the Long Beach area. And with those groups, I work for youth and senior programs and activities in our communities. I feel that the senior programs that I'm involved in with OAAA, which is Olympic Area Agency for Aging, Coastal Community Action Program, which is working to provide the meals on wheels and congregate dining in Pacific County in the Owako and in the Raymond area. And also I'm on the board and chair of the Olympic Regional Clean Air Agency. These boards are outside of the Pacific County boundaries and are regional boards. And so my responsibility is not only just for Pacific County, it's for regional, and it's all for the good of the people of the community. I believe that the seniors are the base of our community, and the youth that we work for in our programs are the future of our community. As commissioner, I've served on numerous boards, and I've just named several of them that I'm very active in, and I'm very passionate about what I do. And I look forward to serving for another 4 years as commissioner, and I would appreciate any comments or opportunity to talk to anybody. I'm responsive. When somebody has a problem, they call me on the phone. I basically tell people I'm 24/7 because I get a lot of calls at home, and I work out of home a lot. And I'm close to the office, so I can get into there almost any time I need to be. And when people have a question, I take their answer or their question, their concern, and I contact the person that's in charge of the area that their question is about, be it roads, DPW, or Department of Community Development, and I forward that question to the responsible person. Then I ask them to contact the individual about their concern. And then I follow up with an on-site visit with the person. I also follow up with a phone call, and I keep in touch with people on their issues. So I appreciate working for people of Pacific County. I look forward to many good things to develop. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak here to this forum. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And last but not least, we'll hear from Kathy Russ.
Natalie, thank you. I would really like to thank the AAUW for hosting this forum tonight. And more importantly, I look out across the audience and I see North County people here and I see South County people. And I am impressed that you all are here to hear from us tonight. I applaud you for your interest in what we have to say. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Action springs not from thought, but from a readiness for responsibility." And I am here to tell you tonight that I am ready to be your next county commissioner. My husband Tim and I have lived here in Pacific County for 15 years. We chose Pacific County as our home, and we cannot picture ourselves living any other place. We're small landowners. We raise, three cows. People think it's Fat Cow Farm. They're there for eternity. And we raise hay. We know what it's like to deal with permitting issues, and we know how to work with them. Tim and I are very active in our community's organizations. We believe that is a way to give back and to learn what is active and what is needed by our citizens. That is very, very important to us. Lisa had talked about what the duties of a county commissioner are. I don't need to go over those, but I'm here to tell you that I have 35 years diverse working experience. I have been a licensed real estate agent. I manage 15 properties. I was responsible for, and those properties were industrial centers, medical complex, and retail centers. I was responsible for the annual budgets and reporting to the owners of their profit and loss statement. And believe me, if there was any loss, we had something to deal with. I worked with the landscapers on the projects. Tim and I owned our own small business. We had an operating budget of $2 million, and we managed 66 employees in three states. I will bring 15 years experience, county working experience. I worked 6 years with the Pacific County Department of Community Development, where I learned about permitting. I was their webmaster. I did their website. I worked with many of our industries in that time. And then I moved on to, which an opportunity came up, and I worked for 9 years. The last 9 years, I have been with the Pacific County Economic Development Council. The last 5 years, I have been their executive director. It is my responsibility for their overall operations. I set the budget and work with my board. I set policy. I develop I provide them with the fiscal awareness and accountability. I have established relationships with our federal and state legislators, and I have the federal or the state agencies that I bring in on numerous projects for development. I manage employees, and I have created a sustainable organization with a reserve budget. That is very important to me in this day and age. I am ready to be your county commissioner. I have knocked on the doors of our North County residents up there, and I have had the opportunity, and it has been my pleasure, to work with many of with you in the audience today with your businesses as the EDC. And I've heard many things from you, and I am impressed with the people. I heard about a fiscal awareness and accountability, and my 27 North and South Board members can attest to my strong decision-making skills and my fiscal accountability to them. It is very important. I heard about government transparency, and I believe in transparency, and that good government does start at home. And I want to rebuild your trust in our government. I plan to make it easier for you to freely voice your concerns and to ask questions of us. I believe that, and I value that. I heard about economic development in the last 9 years, and I heard about the job creation that needs to take place from all the jobs that we have lost over the years. I will continue my strong working relationships with our educational institutions for the development of trade occupations and technology-led education. That is something we see with our kids today that we need. I will continue to work with our cities and ports for the strong infrastructure needed to support our existing businesses and for those of the future.
Kathy, we want to give the audience a chance to question you.
Well, I'm almost on the roll. Okay, I'm almost finished here. I believe in entrepreneurs, and I believe that's what we need to do. But overall, I come with 35 years of experience. I come with the county knowledge, and I can make a difference for you, and I plan to make a difference for you and all of you in this county because you are my passion. You are the citizens and the businesses that make us who we are, and I thank you for that, and I thank you for everything. Thank you very much.
That was the conclusion of the candidate statements. Moderator Natalie Hansen then took questions from the audience.
This lady right here.
Hi, my name is Sue Ravenscroft, and I have a question about fiscal emergencies. My question is really for Clay as the current commissioner. Could you talk about the reserve funds and how much of that balance was used in the current year and what the ending balance will be at the end of this year? Thank you.
Thank you. That's a very good question. The county has been, over a period of time, has been fiscally responsible in creating a rainy day fund. And with the rainy day fund in the budget for 2009, we used approximately $500,000 to balance the budget with that. And we were one of two counties in the state of Washington with the 2009 budget that did not lay anybody off. However, with the declining income over the period of time, we had to use the rainy day fund again in a larger amount. I think it was right around $600,000, if I'm not mistaken, to balance the budget this year. But with that, there came some cuts. We cut 28 positions. 17 of those were staff. The other remaining were positions that we did not fill. And to see where the budget's going to take us this next year for the balance of our budget, I don't know where the rainy day fund will be. So it's too difficult to forecast that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I speak to that? Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm the management fiscal analyst for Pacific County, and so I work with the budget. But we did use just under $600,000 in reserve this year to balance the budget. It looks to me as if we may end up with between current expense and cumulative reserve. They're the two funds in our rainy day fund. We may end up somewhere between $1.2 and $1.5 million at the end of the year. But that is variable based on how much the costs are for trials that may be coming up, because we have to pay the costs out of that fund for that. And so we cannot continue to use $500,000 or $600,000 a year, or we won't have enough to pay payroll. We won't have the cash flow.
Thank you. And then this lady.
Jerry Phillips, I have two questions for Lisa. Are there any departments that have returned funds to the county that they did not spend in their departments?
Yeah, there's a last year we had a lot of departments. I couldn't name all of them, but a number of the departments did because they were really careful at the end of the, when they knew things were coming, the revenues were declining, things were getting tight. We had a number of departments turn money back.
And my other question is, what administrative, I mean, I know you talked about your budgeting and the finance of the commissioner and all that, and what you've been doing over the last few years, but administratively, supervision and running and dealing with the different communities, cities, counties, and different entities, what administrative background do you have?
Well, government-wise, I worked for the City of Raymond for 6 years in the Public Works Department, and I worked with a number of agencies besides funding agencies. I worked with the state for funding. We worked with regulatory agencies because the Public Works Department manages the sewer, the water, so they maintain the utilities, and there's a lot of regulatory information that has to be passed back and forth. And in the public sector, I worked for Safeway. I was a night manager for Safeway for 5 years, and I worked at Navy Commissaries as a manager for 5 years as well.
Thank you.
The Public Works, what exactly was your role at Public Works?
I was an administrative assistant to the director.
Thank you. I had a lady over here, where did she go, that wanted to speak?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm worse than you, Felicity.
I have just kind of an odd question. Given that the county leases their land to different, you know, people, what's going to be your assistance of supplying jobs for the leased lands that you're leasing to? Does that make sense? Like, you're leasing lands to people, and it's like, okay, then they have to supply jobs to the leased lands, like public lands. Or so how can you assist them giving jobs to people? Kathy, you'd probably be good at that one. Because
thank you.
Because you're EDC.
Can you give me a specific?
No, just any land that you're leasing to anybody in the Pacific County.
And you know, quite frankly, I can't answer that because I'm not sure what land you're talking about with
any
the county.
Any land that is being leased to an entity.
Do you mean with the county's ownership?
Well, because the county leases lands.
Right. Well, we have some land that we lease. No. We actually have a property in Raymond that we that has a sawmill on it.
Right. Yeah. So how can you help support them financially?
Well, actually, at the EDC, we have been working. It was Willapaw. It was Seaport Lumber, and it's now Willapaw Hardwoods. They have recently taken the ownership back with the original owners. The EDC, we have been working with them to see what kind of training we can bring in. I serve on the current Workforce Development Council Board for a 5-county region, and it is my goal and emphasis to provide what kind of training to bring these workers back into our workforce. They're starting out pretty small. They at one time employed 70 employees, and I am optimistic that they will bring those back again. But I'm looking from the EDC side at bringing, we went up and met up in Olympia for financing to see what options were available there for them to reopen. I am worked on the trying to find retraining for them. So that's something that I'm involved in. And, you know, as commissioner, I will continue to serve on those boards because they are very important to me. I know what resources those bring back into our community.
But you see what I mean as far as,
yeah,
like,
right,
what,
and
we pay.
Right. And we have also recently approved the 0.09 sales tax money to go to that facility to help with the pavement and cleaning up the site so that it's actually usable so that it can be opened back up. And
I serve on that board.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
thank you.
I serve on that board and that point.
I have one more question, Dixie, when I come out.
One more.
You're right.
And then I'm going to.
As I understand it, on the ballot that we get in the South County, you guys are not going to be on it.
No.
And the top two of you, however, will be on the ballot then that we get in the fall. So why in the South County should I vote? Which one of you guys should I vote for?
Me.
And why?
Well, I think that would. That would depend on who makes it through the primary, who the two you'd be voting for. And I'm hopefully it'll be myself on the ballot with one of the ladies here. And I would hope that you would vote for me based on my experience in the position as it is, and my interest in the community and support for the programs that we have in place.
I'm sorry.
I would just quickly say, obviously, I would say vote for me. As the EDC director, I have been involved in your community, north and south, for 9 years. I have worked with the businesses. I have served on many of your organizations. I believe in them, and I can see how to help it, and I know how to take it up to the next level. That's very important to me.
Thank you. How about you, Lisa?
Well, I would say the same thing. Vote for me. I have over 11 years of governmental experience that has ranged from sewer to county commissioner or assistant. Basically, I'm working for the county commissioners as the management and fiscal analyst. I have a real understanding of the budget, and I think that right now what we truly need in these declining revenue times is somebody that's going to be fiscally prudent with the budgets. We need to figure out a way to save our money. We need to cut costs, and we need to make sure that Pacific County is going to be able to maintain its infrastructure and provide the services that our community needs.
Thank you.
I just want to say one thing. Yes, I agree with that. We need to be prudent. But I believe in the businesses here and that you generate revenue for us. And I believe in all of you, and that if we give you the support necessary, you will generate the revenue that we need in the future.
You're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 in Astoria and KTCB 89.5 in Tillamook. You're hearing highlights from the AAUW's Pacific County Candidates Forum. Up next, John Didion, Pacific County Sheriff, and his challenger for the position, Scott Johnson.
Thank you, but we didn't want to run out of time before we call up our two running for sheriff, which is John Didion and Scott Johnson. And I will say, in the interest of time, I don't want either of you to have to be on the defensive. So could you tell us something about yourselves that's pertinent, and then we'll turn it over for questions. I think there's a lot of them. And we'll start with Mr. Didion.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today, and thank you for taking the time for coming. My name's John Didion. I've been your elected sheriff the last 12 years. I've spent the previous 20 as a deputy, two of those as a DARE officer, two more working at the Criminal Justice Training Commission supervising the DARE program for the state. The Office of Sheriff is broad. It's more than cops and robbers. I bring to the patrol division the experience of being our Chiefs and Sheriffs Association president during the last year. I've been on our executive board for 4 years. I understand the business. As far as the civil function of our office goes, I've spent 12 years supervising that, becoming more and more familiar with all the evictions, all the writs, all the civil papers that we serve. In our corrections division, I've served as co-chair of the state corrections committee. Under my leadership, we came up with a guideline for the state that's in place now that governs corrections throughout Washington. I supervise 911. I spent a number of years representing our state sheriff's association on the 911 commission, keeping a close eye on the money that comes back into our county. Close to $500,000 from the state. In emergency management, I supervised that. I spent the last 2 years as a member of FEMA's National Advisory Committee. I brought back from there for our NIMS guideline, it's the National Incident Management System. We took the shalls out of the guidelines and replaced them with MAs so small agencies could still qualify for federal funding. I've been active legislatively representing you. Every issue from when I first took office, a 911 bill that Senator Sid Snyder and I worked on was a result of a young person not getting the critical help that he needed because we didn't have adequate technology. There wasn't funds here. We went to Olympia. We secured the funds. We did the same thing with the Rural Drug Task Force that's been mentioned. I worked with Representative Tacko on an eluding bill that increased the penalty for trying to elude a police officer. That happened in Ocean Park at the time that school was getting out. We had a high-speed pursuit through there, and all we could arrest the guy for once we found him was a gross misdemeanor traffic offense. We changed that to a felony. Hopefully, that'll prevent other people from doing that. In Long Beach, a student brought a taser to school that they'd modified from a camera. We went to Olympia because that slipped through the cracks of the law. Having a taser in school wasn't a crime. We couldn't charge it. We went to Olympia and changed that. We've worked hard with registered sex offenders. We have an officer that's fully supported by state funds to do nothing but monitor registered sex offenders. I'm proud of the time I've spent there and working with folks like you've had a chance to listen to today. It's been good for me personally to see that in action. It's been good for the county. As a team, we've been able to bring back. And I'd like to offer 4 more years of service. I love my job. And I can offer you the heart of a servant. I really am in this to help people. I can offer you my experience in office and as a deputy. And I hope you'll look at my accomplishments. What I ask you to do is look at our resumes and make a choice. Thank you.
Well, hi, everybody. I am Scott Johnson, and I'm a candidate for sheriff. The real sheriff is seated to my right today. She showed me her stopwatch when I got here. And I think everybody here knows that I like to talk for a long time. In fact, I had about 30 minutes worth of speech prepared. My son got me down to 15, and now I've got to keep it to 3 minutes. So I hope there's some good questions afterwards. I, too, would ask you to compare our resumes. I have been in law enforcement in this community for 33 years now, the last 30 as a commissioned officer. I started with Raymond Police Department back in 1977, and then I was commissioned with South Bend Police as a reserve officer in 1980. And I served just over 3 years in that capacity. I became the reserve sergeant at the age of 19, and I was very proud to, at that age, be supervising 6 to 8 other reserve officers. And then I convinced Sheriff Newton in 1983 to hire me as a reserve deputy, and I started as a beach patrol deputy at that time. So I spent 1 year with the Sheriff's Department. I moved on to the Washington State Patrol and was assigned here when I graduated from the academy in 1985. I patrolled Pacific County from one end to the other ever since that time, and I've served a number of times as the trooper in charge of the detachment. We seem to have trouble keeping a sergeant here for some reason. I love it here, but sometimes for months at a time, I've been the trooper in charge and overseeing the up to 10 officers that we have patrolling the county here. I'm a very different choice for sheriff, and I hope you consider some things. I'm very frugal. I want to keep deputies on the road. One of the biggest things that I'm going to tell you is if I'm elected here, I will work in this county. You will see me. I'll be up your side streets, your alleys. I want to be visible. And I've been knocking on doors all over the county. I see people here today all the way from Brooklyn, places that feel that they're forgotten, Toqueland, Grayland. I think that we have a responsibility to everyone in the county to be in those areas. And, you know, last year the Sheriff's Department laid off 2 deputies. December of 2009, we laid off 2 deputies, and we're already a small department. I would have done everything I could to keep those deputies on the road. It means tough choices. It might mean laying off some of the cooks in the jail. It might mean trying to do some things that save money to keep our guys out on the road. And I will support our PACnet. I will try and make sure that we work really hard on drug arrests. When I'm knocking on doors and people are telling me that there's burglaries in their areas, that tells me there's a drug problem related to those areas as well. And they want to see somebody out there. And I'll be out there. I'm used to working long days, long hours. I've got a business management background. I started my business in 1988. It's a construction company, which I very recently turned over to my son. And I'm proud that I started that from scratch, and today I employ six full and part-time employees. And believe me, in the construction business today, with times being tough like they are, I've taken a real budget cut in our business. And so I know what it's like when the money isn't there. And I, too, am proud that I generate revenue for the county. So with that, I'll leave it open to questions and hope you do consider us.
Okay, questions? I'll take the questions from the floor, starting with that gentleman over there.
Hi, I'm Patrick Manning from Ocean Park. I've been on the peninsula for about 15 years. Mr. Johnson, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Have you been released to go back to work yet for the state?
Actually, I got clearance from my doctor the other day. I had the support of the department before I even filed for election. I wanted to make sure everything was good and clear at that time, so yes.
Are you seeking a disability because of your injury?
Okay, I knew that would come up, and no, I have not asked, and no, I am not seeking a disability. I think there's a lot of life left in me, and I would like to use it and be out
here. I hope so.
I don't want it. Thank you.
Rob Everett, Nakata. Mr. Didion, how much supervisory experience did you have before you came sheriff?
Thank you for the question. I realized that I didn't have any because our department was so small. So before I became sheriff, I was released for 2 years to work on contract with the Criminal Justice Training Commission, as I mentioned earlier, to manage the state DARE program. At that time, and I did it specifically because I wanted to run for sheriff, at that time I managed the budget. I supervised a staff of six mentor officers, and I scheduled and budgeted training throughout the state. So I felt that I wouldn't be serving the people here if I didn't bring something in, because I'll never forget watching that clock tick past midnight on the first day that I was sheriff, because that's when the buck stops right with you, and I wanted to be prepared.
Mr. Phillips.
Hi, Jerry Phillips, Long Beach. My question is twofold, kind of in a sense, with Scott. First off, the one gentleman asked about you being released back to duty,
yes.
And you said the other day being yesterday, last week.
Just a couple days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, I was in Seattle to get checked up. I was supported by my doctor, and I think he may have even written a letter at that time stating that my health was improving to the point that this was a good thing to pursue.
What administrative background do you have, and then how are you going to support PACnet?
Well, I've got a number of things. I'll address the twofold question. And some of the things that I've looked at are the four-wheel drive vehicles, and I'm looking at four administrative people with those. Our 911 director has one, and I spoke with her just today, and I asked her, how often do you even use four-wheel drive? And the answer was not very much. I look at the jail superintendent, drives a four-wheel drive vehicle home every night, and he has for years, and he doesn't even live in Pacific County. Why don't we cut those kind of things before we're cutting deputies' positions? Why do we lay deputies off? I want to think outside the box. We talk about where else could I cut costs. I don't think this has ever been looked at before, but there are four cooks at the jail. I don't want to lay the cooks off, but a cook would be laid off before a deputy would be laid off. If you take the salary of one cook, just one cook, with no benefits whatsoever, I've already got a quote from a contract vendor that would deliver hot meals to the jail, push them in the elevator on a cart, ready to take up, that would have fruit, milk, a bologna sandwich, hot soup, and carrot sticks. Everything that they need.
How about a Twinkie?
No Twinkie. And for the cost of that one cook, you could provide 10,286 meals. Why haven't we considered this kind of thing before?
Mr. Didion.
Thank you for this, for raising those issues and for a chance to respond. The four-wheel drive issue, you know, I've heard that bannered around the community as well. Why we switched to four-wheel drive was because of where we're at. If we lived in Seattle, we'd be driving patrol cars. But where we live, a lot of our calls, a lot of our emergency calls are up logging roads, on the beach, you know, in inaccessible places to cars. We don't have time, if somebody's getting, you know, beat up or has an imminent threat to them, to switch a car. So we started that. The county, knowing that, you know, the position we're in, has recently lowered the rates by extending the depreciation schedule. So a four-wheel drive versus a car is less than $100 more. And to me, the trade-off for your safety, for a vehicle that can reach you when you need it, that can carry the equipment you need, that, God forbid, and I hate to even say this, if we suffer an earthquake and a tsunami and lose our road structure, at least we have a chance to respond to you. That's the reason that we balance this. It's one thing to go through, you know, a budget or pick out something and throw it out there, and it sounds great. But we've had 12 years to think about this and to refine it. And I can guarantee you we're giving you the best service for the least cost that you can get. And your safety comes first. As far as the supervisors, you know, I suppose we could give them a bicycle and they could still do their same job. But they wouldn't be as effective. They wouldn't be able to get out on the beach. They wouldn't be able to get, you know, to you when it's needed. Inspector Saltemeyer, who runs our jail, is also a reserve officer. He helps us. He's at all the scenes. He's a defensive tactics master instructor. He helps train our officers. The reason he initially got a four-wheel drive is because he was going to be our canine officer, and we needed a place to put the dog. And we did that so we could save money because he already had the training. I mean, there's articulable reasons for every move we make. They're not, you know, capricious. They're not just because it feels good. They're to save money, plus provide you with the service that you deserve. As far as the cooks in the jail, I looked at MREs to feed our, you know, our inmates. I have to meet a standard. MREs are twice as expensive of what we're doing now. And it's the same with depending on an out-of-county food source. If we have some kind of natural disaster, if we have a snowstorm, ice, we're in trouble because then we can't feed our inmates. We have part-time cooks, partial cooks. We just are asking in our budget for this next year for all our 12 corrections officers to have a food handler's license. So in an emergency, we can do it. I'll guarantee you the present system is the cheapest, most effective way to comply with the mandates that we're forced to do.
Hi, my name is Suzanne Staples, and I have a question. You had just brought citizen safety to the fore. And I've noticed over the past 4 to 5 years, coming into Long Beach on the 4th of July, Labor Day, I don't feel safe anymore, especially at night. Lots and lots of people won't do that. And I guess for you, I would ask, why is that? I mean, why does it seem so out of control? And then for both of you, what would you do to make, I guess, the regular citizens feel more safe during those times?
Thank you. I appreciate the question. I think, unfortunately, we're living in a climate of violence. And I recognize the traffic aspect that you're talking about. But the reason for PACNET, the reason that I approached Senator Domit then to create PACNET was for what you're talking about, because drugs were totally out of control. 70 to 80% of all crime is drug related. And we thought by focusing on narcotics, we could reduce that crime. And we've shown that. The last 5 years, our property crime rates are steadily trending downwards. Sending a message. You know, one of the good things about our county is that you're very visible. It's not that we don't know who's trafficking in narcotics. It's just that we have to stay within the law, and we need the resources to do that. I've worked hard to maximize what resources we had to focus on narcotics and help downtrend that. That's been, I think, fairly successful. But I absolutely agree with you that it's a far more dangerous climate now, not only here, but if four Lakewood officers can go in and have a cup of coffee and be brutally murdered, you bet we need to do something. And what we need to do is energize our public. I go in and talk to the commissioners every day. They know what I'm going to say before I even open my mouth, that we need to prioritize public safety. That needs to be number one. But, you know, and I spent 6 months in my column in the paper trying to describe, you know, the bind we were in. One of the commissioners told me that, you know, I was really effective. He got one call, and that call said we have too many cops. So, you know, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to, you know, keep trying. I'm going to keep pushing. But the real key is you. If the people have finally had enough and they want to be protected, then they need to exercise their power and send that message to the people that provide me with the resources that I request. We're doing the very best we can with what we got, and we're maximizing that all the way. But I absolutely agree with you. It's becoming more and more dangerous. And if we don't get a handle on it, there's other beach communities that offer what we offer. And if you've got within a 50-mile radius a beach community here and one here, where would you take your family? To the one that's safest. And that's what we've been working for 12 years.
Well, I'd like to respond to that, too. Sometimes on a holiday, it seems like, I know we have just one deputy out. I know they've complained to me, and they say they don't understand why they're out by themselves. And what I've always said is I want to rebuild the reserve program back to what it was. You know, when I was in there, there were 25 guys. Those are the people that you call on the holidays and the emergencies and the floods, and you know that you've got them ready to go for you. Another thing, I think I would have all the administrative people out. I would be out myself on a holiday. You'd see the undersheriff out on a holiday. The culture that I come from, that's how it is. The people with the desk jobs during the week are out on the holidays and when there's big festivals, and you pull them out from behind the desk, they put their uniform on, and they're out in the community. So I think that's a very, very important thing, and you could be sure that July 4th and Christmas, I'd be out there patrolling around the county myself. Rod run, absolutely.
So in Rod run, then you'd quit driving the bus and put a uniform on and patrol with the rest of us, right?
I'm not sure what you're... Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Sure. Oh, my goodness, where do I start? This lady right here, and I'll work my way back.
Start at the front and go back. I can go both ways. I'm so proud that you go to Olympia and, you know, represent us in Pacific County. But fiscally speaking, when you go, do you pay for your own cost, or does Pacific County back those costs? And what would you do, Scott, in that same position?
Who do you want to go first?
Go ahead, sure.
Well, I thank you because I do go there. Yeah. And most of the time, it's back and forth, up and back. And I can tell you, the last year, I paid for my own meals. Before that, the county, you know, would pay for a lunch, and it would be a cheap lunch. But the issue is, those aren't the true reflective costs. By going to Olympia, during my first term, I brought a $5 million grant from WASPIC back. That's a lot of meals. By going to Olympia, I brought, you know, $1.2 million to our Rural Drug Task Force a year. That's a lot of meals. And you can't put a price tag on, you know, the 911 upgrades, the emergency management stuff. That's all factored in. And, you know, I guess that's what I try to balance. The easiest thing in the world to do is stay here and wear a uniform. I did that for 20 years, you know. My opponent's on record saying he'll spend more time in Oysterville than Olympia. You know, I guess I respectfully ask to the citizens, you know, with all respect to the citizens of Oysterville, what in the world good are you going to do for the rest of the county if you spend more time in Oysterville than Olympia? It's a necessary evil. If we had all the funding we needed here, I wouldn't go. You know, that's the reason I'm going.
Well, in response to that, first of all, I would seek grants. They're a very necessary thing that we can't live without, and I would pursue them very actively. But I've always said, I'll put the office in my car. Today you can put a computer and a phone. And I'm not telling you that I wouldn't go to Olympia as well. But I look at our other elected officials. I look at the director of Department of Community Development, and he's able to get grants and make the connections. And yes, he goes to Olympia, but he doesn't live in Olympia. And that's going to be the hallmark of my administration, is to be here amongst the people that elect me. I want people to be able to approach me, know who I am, feel comfortable talking to me, flag me down when I go by. And I can still direct things from here in Pacific County. I look at our previous sheriffs, Sheriff Webb, Sheriff Newton, Sheriff Benning. I never saw any of those guys spend the time in Olympia that our sheriff does today. And I'm not knocking the sheriff. I want to present a different choice to you and know how I would go about that.
Let's see, I was working my way back. There we go. The gentleman in the green shirt in the back.
My name's Ken Boyes. A couple of things. Number one, Sheriff, you and I have worked for a number of years on many of these programs that I too am extremely proud of, PACnet being one of them. It's been a very successful program. I'm getting from Mr. Johnson that he's also going to support PACnet. My biggest issue, being in law enforcement and knowing nearly every law enforcement officer in Pacific County, is the jail. We cannot book people in the Pacific County Jail due to the jail status up there. It's always red. 15 years ago, we were routinely booking 50, 55, sometimes 60 people up there. And we're going red at 29 and 30, where we can't book them in. If you ask any police officer on the street today in Pacific County what their biggest gripe would be, that would be it. When you talk about public safety, how is it not safe to house these people that need to be in jail, in jail? We're not running a Holiday Inn up there. We're running a jail. And if you got to put them on a mattress on the floor for a night, that's what we got to do. I've looked at some of the jail figures at WASPIC conferences and things, and routinely, other counties, without exception, are running over capacity regularly. Pacific County seems to be the only one that isn't, and I just don't understand that.
I'll be happy to take that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate the question. It's right on target, and I'm one of those guys that's frustrated too. But the sad fact is our jail was constructed to house 16 inmates and to feed and to clothe 16 inmates. Our capacity is set by Washington Administrative Code at 29. We have added beds during my administration in there to get the capacity up for emergencies. The issue that people miss is that even though we do have 55 beds, and during events like Rod Run, where we have, you know, just an extra 100,000 or so people come in, we're forced to use them. But why we've taken a stand, you know, at trying to get as close as we can to stay within that limited capacity is because of a risk management concern for you. If we lose the support of our county's risk pool because we're knowingly violating a standard, guess what? We don't get insured. We have to cover the lawsuit, and trust me, there'll be lawsuits. It's not like we have 29 little cells. We have pods that have 8, pods that'll have 6, pods that'll have 2, but the issue comes when you have 7 Class A felons in the jail at one time, which we've had recently. You can't. When somebody comes into the jail, you classify them as to, you know, how dangerous they are, high, medium, and low. If we have, you know, the gentleman that, you know, that perpetrated the homicide here last Rod Run in a cell, which we have had, we can't house anyone with him. That's what forces us to move people around all the time. And Ken, you know, we have a kind of a last chance thing. If you really want to book somebody in there, you really need to get somebody off the street, You can call the superintendent. You can call me. I know we've talked in the past, and we'll do everything we can to get that person in. We run over capacity. We're running in the low to high 30s a lot of the time, but we work to keep it down, not to coddle anybody, not to frustrate people, you know, that are out there. Because I agree with you. The best thing we could do is have quick, tough consequences for bad behavior. But I can't put a misdemeanor traffic offender in a cell with a murderer. I can't do it. As much as I'd like to, I can't do that. That's the issue that, you know, that people don't understand. And we do everything we can to move them around. If you factor in mental health, medical issues, gender issues, and in our small county, people that are related to each other, or maybe the family member of a victim being housed with a family member of a suspect, you just can't do it.
Having been up there a number of times myself, never as an inmate, but I know that the jailers asked, is there anybody on this board that you can't get along with? And I recognize that. But my problem is I have a drunk driver. I have somebody that blows a 2.7. Okay, I take him home to his wife. We release him to his wife. And how much control is his wife going to have? He goes out and gets in a car, goes out and slams into somebody and kills them. Where's your liability out then? Who's it going to fall back to?
Right.
I mean, it's
a good point. I struggle with that every time I have to do that.
As do I, every night.
Right. What balances it for me is if I put a traffic misdemeanor in with a homicide, you know, that's bad. I mean, they're right off the bat, that's a bad deal.
And is that covered by the mandate, though? Are you mandated?
Absolutely. You cannot cross-classify, put them in the same cell. I mean, it's nothing I dreamed up. Those are state guidelines. You can't do that. You know, or I would. I mean, my hands are tied, and this is something that, you know, we've tried to explain over and over and over and over. I inherited a class action lawsuit for a violation of jail standards when I took office. And that got my attention. And, you know, I've had to make these tough choices. There's nothing I enjoy telling a law enforcement officer, I'm sorry, we can't take them. Because you make a good point, but it becomes a matter of balance, and I have to choose what's best, not for that prisoner, but what's best for the citizens of our county in the big picture.
My name is Millie Clements, and I'm from Eklund Park in South Bend area. And what I'm concerned about, why the Sheriff's Department for many years now has not worked with other law enforcement agencies. It seems as though there's dissension between all the agencies, and I think that they should work closer with other agencies and maybe commission some of those municipalities so that they can help out with the Sheriff's Department.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's a great point. And the answer is, look at PACNET. The answer is they are commissioned. We have a mutual police powers agreement where, you know, we can work interjurisdictionally. If you look at my administration, there's more cooperation among law enforcement agencies than ever before. We organized PACNET. We've gone from PACNET to a major crimes unit where everyone is contributing officers. We not only work within the county, but we're part of a regional task force that again,
but,
we had...
But besides PACNET, what about all the other things?
Sure.
You know, not just drugs, but...
No, well,
but
how about sex offenders? We went out and we lobbied hard in Olympia to get funding to have an officer to concentrate solely on sex offenders. We entered into agreements with the city that the county officer would take over that function for them. And, you know, and it's worked great like that. For an example, you're from Raymond?
I'm from Eklund Park, which is in Pacific County.
Right. Well, you're Raymond area.
Yeah, South Bend.
South Bend area.
I'm in between.
We're dealing with an issue right now where we've had a level 3 sex offender that has been incarcerated. We're going to have a public meeting next week. And that sex offender has been in the custody of DOC twice for violations. In the last week, I've called up the chain of command from the local DOC all the way to the Secretary of the Department of Corrections and to the Assistant Attorney General to try to do something to keep this person in jail. He's released. He got released today. So I called Ken as soon as, you know, this afternoon, as soon as I found that out, and let him know. His officers have been busy, you know, putting together information to go out and notify the public. That's an example of how we cooperate. So we cooperate with, you know, with the cities.
We're going to run out of time, and did you want to say something, Scott, before
yeah,
we...
Yeah, I think it's very important on this issue. I think you all need to hear from me. I don't want to heat things up. It's difficult for me to have to dispute something, but what the sheriff just said is not true. I don't see interagency cooperation. I've been out there so many times. In fact, we've been told sometimes by our superiors that we've been told not to help the sheriff because he doesn't want us there. And there's a reason that I have very strong and public support from two of the chiefs of police in this county. They want to see more cooperation between agencies. They feel like they're excluded, that they don't count. I wouldn't be running for this job if I didn't want to make these changes. I know these guys know that I'll work with them. I'll be out there myself. We're all part of a family. And I look at about 6 months ago, a good example, we had a staff member from the State Patrol Academy in Shelton come down to give a class on breaking into buildings and search and seizure and clearing buildings. And every agency up there showed up. South Bend was there, Department of Wildlife was there, Raymond Police were there, and I didn't see one member of the Sheriff's Department show up. And I just kind of quietly listened to all the other officers from the other agencies say, you know, it's again that the sheriff's afraid of the local control issue being brought up, and here they are once again not participating. I didn't get an answer.
Okay,
to the last
we one. Have some more questions, Scott.
Sure.
And what I'm going to suggest, rather than go back and forth on this issue, is that as soon as I take these questions, then which I'd appreciate if you'd answer them quickly.
Sure.
Then I'll let the people come and stand around you while we end this, because they're going to throw me out of here.
I don't have a question. I just want to tell everybody that there's lots of cookies there. So, on your way out, help yourself.
Good job, Dixie. If you can do it quickly, Jerry.
It's going to be really quick. I just want to make sure the public
this
really
is Jerry
understands.
Phillips.
I said Jerry Phillips. Jerry Phillips. With Long Beach. I want to make sure everybody understands. You know, I know there's going to be some disagreements here and stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, with the city of Long Beach, the Sheriff's Department, and the other agencies, we have a very close working relationship. And I'm not talking about just on events and rod run and things of this nature where we need everybody's help. We got Raymond PD coming down here. We have South Bend. We have counties even further away, Washougal, Woodland. We have a great interagency working relationship in the city of Long Beach, okay? So I want to make sure people understand that. That this sheriff has, and we do have, a very close working relationship. Now, just because you don't show up to one meeting sometimes, I'm a risk manager for the Bank of the Pacific. I don't make every meeting either, but it doesn't mean I don't want to be there. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. A special thank you to all the candidates.
Thank you, everybody.
That concludes this broadcast of the Pacific County Candidates Forum, hosted by the American Association of University Women Pacific County Chapter. Terry Wilson and Tom Palmer recorded this program. This has been a production of member-supported Coast Community Radio.